And that's going to bring us to the rest of the story in Luke 2. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw them, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. I have about 5 sermons for this passage. I'm going to try not to do all of them, but hey, you can always mute me at your end, most of you. This is a unique passage in Scripture. It's one of the few passages about the life of Jesus growing up. We have the infancy narrative, which only appears in Luke's gospel. In Mark's gospel, Jesus just shows up at his baptism and starts turning the world upside down. In John's gospel, we go back to the creation story, but we happily neglect any of the actual appearance of the child on the face of the earth. And Matthew waits. And we get the entire birth narrative in about 3 verses. And Jesus was born, and then they run off to Egypt. So here we are in Luke, and this is like our only shot in Scripture at getting to see how Jesus grows up. Often we preach this and we talk about what lousy parents Mary and Joseph are. That's one of these sermon texts that we use for that. We sometimes focus on the snark that comes out of tween Jesus's mouth. "Well, where did you expect me to be? I'm in my father's house." I'm going to ask us to set those 2 sermons to the side for today. I want you to think about, just for one moment, what it is to be Mary and Joseph raising the Savior of the world. Go back to last week's text. And that 8 days after Jesus is born, and I really do not envy Joseph for his part in this. I don't envy Mary at all either, but I relate better to Joseph. That they have moved not just from Nazareth to Bethlehem, but from Bethlehem to Jerusalem with an 8-day-old. Because it's the thing you do if you're Jewish and you have an 8-day-old boy son, is you take them to the temple and you have them circumcised. Now, we don't have a sense of whether that's routine or whether that's ritual or whether Mary is really tired of her mother-in-law harping on things at this point. We have no idea what that is. It's one of those areas where I really wish Luke had given us some more flesh on the bones. We flash forward 12 years, and the opening of this passage in verse 41 is that Mary and Joseph and Jesus went to celebrate the Passover in Jerusalem, as was their tradition. So probably for 12 years, Mary and Joseph have been taking the Savior of the world to hear how God has saved God's people. Now, again, I don't know if like this is something they feel pressured to do because, well, he's the Messiah. We should probably make sure he knows the story. Or if there's a family reunion the week after Passover or anything else. What we do know is that Jesus heard the story of God's salvation of God's people year after year after year after year. For those of us who know the rest of the story, it is particularly poignant. A couple of the repetitions that happen around this. At 8 days old, Jesus was in the temple, and Simeon and Anna recognized him. They recognized the hope of Israel and the salvation of the world, even extending to the Gentiles. At 12 years old, Jesus was in the temple, and he was asking astute questions and listening well, and everyone was amazed. And at 30 years old, he's going to stand in the temple and he's going to read from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and he's going to go, "It's me." And they're going to try to throw him off a cliff. He was recognized at 8 days old, but by 30, he can't be the hope of Israel anymore. So three times he's going to come to this temple, and then he's going to stand outside this temple and say that it could be torn down, and in 3 days it would be built again. So this is a part of this big story of Jesus, this huge, colossal, mammoth story of Jesus. And it's more than that. This is not the last time that Jesus will go to Jerusalem during the Passover and go AWOL for 3 days. This is not the last time that Mary will go to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover with her son. Go home without him, and 3 days later, be thrilled to see that he is alive. So there is an awful lot going on here for those of us who know the story and who've read ahead in the Gospels, maybe not this year, but in other years. There's a lot going on here. Mary and Joseph seem to be doing their best to raise... How do you raise a good Savior of the world? How do you raise a good Messiah? Well, we're raising the Son of God. There is a political cartoon type that I didn't find in time to use as part of the sermon today, but it's got three camels side by side, and each of the camels has a bumper sticker, and one says, "My son is a lawyer," and one says, "My son is a doctor," and one says, "My son is God," and the two folks on the doctor and lawyer camel go, "Oh, look, if it isn't Mary and Joseph again." And that's not how I have a sense that Mary and Joseph raised their child. But I do not envy them their job. I do not envy them the place they were put in this world. We talk about children as precious gifts, and yes, that is true. But what do you do when your child is the Savior of the world? And so, Mary and Joseph seem to be devout people. I would make the argument it would be very difficult not to be after the angel Gabriel showed up. Like if you had any questions, Gabriel's visits should have answered those questions for you. And so they believe. I believe that they believe deeply in the narrative of Passover, of God delivering God's people from slavery into life eternal, into freedom, into the land of promise. And I believe that they think their child needs to believe that too. And so they go to Jerusalem every year. Now, our Sunday school material talked about what a short trip that is. It's only 65 miles. So it's about from here to Paducah, except you need to walk it. So it's 5 days each way. Now, in the Protestant part of the church, we have Jesus, the Lord, firstborn son of Mary and Joseph. And then we have James, the brother of the Lord. We've got other assorted siblings in the mix as well. So I want you to imagine 5 days on the road, each way, with screaming brats. For over a decade. How dedicated are you to church? I mean, like, how many of you would go, yes, let's go to the Easter sunrise service. It's only a 5-day walk, and we've got a 3-year-old and a 6-month-old. Let's do it. I believe that this is at the core of who Mary and Joseph are, and it's part of why Mary and Joseph are who they are. I don't think this suddenly happened with Gabriel showing up. I believe it was there beforehand. They know who Jesus is. They may not realize all that's coming with that, but they know who Jesus is. And for them, the Passover story is lived out every day in their own homes. That God is saving the world and God is saving God's people in their midst again. I say all of this because they should have no doubts about the reality of God in the world. Many of us have our doubts. We watch the news. We see the behavior of one another on the streets. We have our doubts. And so we end up being more like Mary and Joseph than we want to admit. We go to the temple, as is our routine, and somehow we manage to leave Jesus there. And I think it's a more common malaise than we want to admit. When Lori and I were in seminary, Lori did an intern year at a church outside of Charlotte, and we learned several peculiarities about the community while we were there, as you learn in any community that you're serving. One of them, we were just outside of Charlotte, was that the air conditioning unit in the sanctuary would kick on at 5 minutes till noon. That's when it kicked on to make sure everything stayed the right temperature. And if you had tickets to a Carolina Panthers game, that's when you needed to leave to get to kickoff on time. So there would be a mass exodus when the air conditioners kicked on. We learned that the Methodist Church moved their worship service 15 minutes earlier so that they could be in line at the buffet ahead of the Baptists. I think those are some great examples of us going to church with Jesus and happening to leave him there. It's our routine. It's our habit. We believe deeply that Jesus Christ is real and that God is at work saving the world. But we go to worship sometimes, and sometimes it takes a couple days before we realize we don't have Jesus with us. My hope for us this year is that we are able, with Jesus among us, to see the power of God made real in our lives, and that we check before we leave the building to make sure that we are going with Christ. Our charge and our benediction challenge us to do that every week, but I would love to see us intentionally make sure that he is with us every time we leave. It is not enough to go to the temple. We must go forth. Simeon proclaims that Jesus Christ is a light and glory to the Jews and righteousness to the Gentiles. We proclaim that he is the light of the world, the bread of life, the cup of salvation, the way, the truth, the life, the vine, the branches, the good physician, the great physician, the good shepherd, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, the Savior of the world. the beloved child of God. We are the people who are saved at Passover. We are the people who were saved at Passover in Egypt. We are the people who've been saved at every Passover celebration since. We are the people who are saved when Jesus goes to celebrate the Passover at the age of 30 in Jerusalem. That is part of our routine and our ritual and our reason for being. Let us not forget that we should make sure we have him when we go home as well. Out into that world that needs to see hope and grace and love and the power of God made real. Yes, we believe. We believe deeply in the power of God to change the world. And yet, like Mary and Joseph, we're surprised sometimes at how it plays out. Do not be surprised to see Jesus in this place, but be even less surprised to see the incarnation of God made real each and every day of our lives. Friends, when you go, make sure you have everything you need to go out into the world. To God alone be the glory, this day and forevermore. Amen.